Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely fantastic day today. It's a beautiful Friday down here in Florida. Probably going to rain here in a little bit, but that is nice. It will cool down some. Ted just got back in town last night, so he's in the process of getting everything hooked up right now, and he will be on the show shortly with me. But first thing that I wanted to touch base on, I thought this was interesting because I saw a lot of people talking about this as far as on social media, some of the stuff that I've tried to monitor, and of course a lot of the mainstream media has brought this up, is the American Academy of Pediatrics. They produced an article, if you saw this, about 2 weeks ago, a research study that was essentially supposedly pushing this real hard gun control campaign, is really what they were doing. And they went on to basically go into detail how they're saying now that firearm deaths are the leading cause of death in the United States now in pediatrics and children. And I looked at it, and I looked at, you know, with the first, the rhetoric in the article and a lot of stuff they were talking about, and then I had to look at the numbers because I really had to see what they were doing, because a lot of people were regurgitating this stuff on what they were based off as far as this research study. None of it made any sense. So I wanted to do a little bit more research and kind of show you guys what I found on it, and so you guys actually have the real numbers, not just what their rhetoric and propaganda is, but the hardcore numbers. They went on to say here in this research article that essentially they're linking that tougher gun laws equate to fewer firearm deaths among children as far as in these states, right? And so you kind of look at it and you're like, well, that's interesting. You know, how are they even coming up with these numbers? Well, first off, what they did was they skewed the numbers over a 5-year period and they averaged them together. Like last year in the United States, total, under the age of 21, we had 3,200 firearm deaths related to people under the age of 21. Those got categorized as pediatrician firearm deaths. So what they did was they took the average from a 5-year period. So they said an average every year, 4,250 pediatric deaths from firearms occur. So I looked at the number and I was like, okay. So I started breaking it down on what they actually are showing here. And then they go, well, 62% were assault related, 87% were male, and 69% were aged 18 to 21. And I went, what? Whoa. 69% of your research study were aged 18 to 21, and 87% of those were males? So then you have to start asking yourself a question here. What exactly are we trying to say with this research study? Because when they say children, which they blatantly say in the article, the name of the study is Tough Gun Laws Linked to Fewer Firearm Deaths Among Children. Well, they're saying pediatrics is anything under the age of 21. So when you actually take their skewed numbers, 4,250, which is already high, and you pull the 69% out of them, which is almost 3,000, you're left with 1,317 children that are under the age of 21, or under the age of 18, that die in firearm-related deaths. So you go, well, that's still kind of high. Okay. Well, then you take out the fact that 62% were assault-related or gang-related. That drops 803 out of it. So when you look at the real numbers, children under the age of 18 that die from a firearm-related incident that is not gang or assault-related is 513 deaths per year, which massively drop it from the inflated 4,250 that they leave the article with. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up so you guys understand what we're talking about. On average, even on the high end from their numbers, we're looking at about 500 gun deaths a year among children, which is a lot. As far as, you know, any child that dies from a firearm unneedly is not okay. But on the other hand, too, saying that a population of 330 million people needs to be fully disarmed because 500 children on a very, very high-end skewed number scale die essentially from suicide or other means due to firearms under the age of 18. And again, that's still not even taking into account of any type of artificial skewing in here because, like I said, they came up with a number. They said total 4,250 die each year. Well, when I pulled up the numbers from 2018, it was like 3,200. So they're already 1,000 higher. So just wanted to kind of bring that up, Dad, because I saw a lot of people talking about this online and social media and the mainstream media, and kind of clarify how the American Academy of Pediatrics is pretty much skewed this to try to push the gun lobbying debate. Because, you know, when these communists get up there and they get behind the microphone, they got a closed microphone. Nobody can really debate them in most cases. They just get to say what they want. So they come off these numbers, they say 4,250 children die each year at the hands of firearms. And then they go on to segue to their gun control. Everybody goes, golly, 4,250, that's a lot of kids. Everybody thinks, oh, man, it's children, little children. It's little children running around. I mean, for the kids, we got to do it for the kids. Same thing we saw in a lot of these school shootings. Every time a school shooting happens, it's for the kids. We need gun bans because it's for the kids. You know, we need AR-15 bans because it's for the kids. We need red flag gun laws because it's for the kids. This is always how they've pulled at the heartstrings of the United States population and pushed through majority of our hardcore gun laws that we have in place now, is by using kids as rhetoric and propaganda to skew the population's mindset into thinking we need to be disarmed for the protection of our kids, when in reality, we are the only ones that can protect our kids. And when it comes down to it, proper gun safety is crucial if you have children in the house. I cannot state that. I'm not saying lackadaisical gun safety is okay at all, because it is not. On the other hand as well, not having the ability to defend your family or your children because you've been disarmed is not okay either, Dad. But I just wanted to clarify this article when I saw it earlier this week.
Well, I haven't researched the article also, but I personally don't believe that it's even 500, because, you know, you're going to have all kinds of crazy things, like, you know, two kids playing with their daddy's gun at some other neighbor's house, right? And an accidental discharge occurs. And, you know, that's horrible. Like you said, you have to have gun safety. I'd have to look at the entire numbers on how 500 kids are dying.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, but when you have over 300 million people, remember what happened with you may not remember this, Austin, because you were so young, but when 9/11 happened, I'm sorry, when back in the 90s, this is when you were so young, George Bush said the reason we are going to invade Kuwait, one of the reasons is when they went into the hospitals, the Iraqis into the Kuwaiti hospitals, they were taking children out of incubators and throwing them on the ground. And they used another child to tell the story of what was going on in the hospitals. Later, that was found to be complete and total lies. It was all fabricated. None of it was true. And they always put children out in front. It's like with movies. A lot of times they'll make the children the ones who are the victims in the movies, and you have to try to get a child who's been kidnapped or whatever, or who's been buried alive, or some sick crap that Hollywood comes up with, and you got to deal with watching a movie like that. I won't watch movies like that have children who basically are scared. That one Alien movie, I think Alien 2, they have the little girl who gets infected by the alien, and they're trying to protect the little girl. I can't stand movies like that. Because what it does, it uses the children in a victim mindset. I don't like that. So this, again, what they're doing. We have to put the security and safety. Now, remember, I'm going to say something very clearly here so to make sure that you guys get the picture of what's going on with this whole thing with the American Medical Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, and all that. Austin's right. These are very, very liberal organizations, okay? Slash, these are very, very socialist organizations. Slash, they're very, very communist organizations. Slash. That's how you have to look at this, which means now that goes back to Rothschild-controlled organization slash Frankfurt School organization slash. This is all part of the mindset. They're the same ones, the pediatricians, who are telling us, oh my gosh, we have 500 children who die of gun deaths every year, but we're going to be the ones who inject millions of children a year with toxic vaccines and cause a massive epidemic of autism up to 1 in 32 in boys.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, this is the same people. These same people are the ones that are poisoning the children, are telling you they're here to protect the children. It's all BS. That's all it is. You know, that's all it is. It's nonsense. It's not true. They're not here to protect the children. They're here to push forward the liberal agenda through their organizations to try to take the guns away, which has nothing to do with pediatrics. Nothing. Why don't they police themselves and look at the immunizations, look at the vaccines, look at the glyphosate, look at all the healthy little boys and girls who were perfect and they were injected with their 18-month booster shots who came down with autism, and they see it happen over and over and over again. I remember reading an article one time, and they had these, it was a neonatal intensive care unit, which kids were being born premature. They were being put in neonatal intensive care incubators, and they were giving them immunizations. And the doctors would say before the immunizations were getting ready to be administered to these babies, these preemies, well, get ready. We'll fix it and have a whole bunch of cardiac arrest of these children after they get injected. What? Well, how about this? The baby was born 2-3 months early. It's in a neonatal intensive care in an incubator. Maybe you don't need to inject it because its immune system isn't even formed yet. Yeah, there you go. How about that? How about let's use a little bit of sense? And that's the problem that you run into with these clowns. I'm going to say something. I got to be so careful sometimes when I come into this stuff. I went to school, Florida State, with a lot of the same. I took a lot of the same medical classes that these students did. In fact, almost all of them, as far as the undergraduate stuff and some of the graduate classes they took. And it was interesting to me the amount of competition all the way through. I remember I was in a physiological psychology class, and a lot of people were going into the PhDs in psychology or going to medical school, and they would cross-contaminate your experiments so you couldn't get an A in the class. It happened to me personally. In organic chemistry, they would contaminate pipettes, which are like glass rods that you use for experiments, so that your experiment would not come out correctly and you would not get an A in the lab or in the class because they were competing for medical school admission slots. You think, what the heck, really? Yeah, I'm not making this stuff up. Okay. In addition to that, the vast majority of the people that I met who were going to go to medical school were very good at memorizing. They had zero common sense, most of them. And they couldn't work their way out of a wet paper bag with an axe. They were suffocating. And so they had no common sense, but they were good at memorization and they were good at taking exams. And so they were able to get themselves into medical school, except for the white guys. They pretty much never got in because they were white and they were men. And, unless they had 4.0 and they knew somebody on the admissions committee or their father or whatever was a faculty, they just didn't get in unless they went south of the border. And you think, well, is that true? Yeah, it's pretty much true. I don't know of any white guys that got accepted who didn't have contacts. None. And what was interesting is this happens all the time when you get into these higher admission organizations. That's why Harvard has these secretive things on how they choose people, right? Whatever. It's who gives the most money and who has the most contacts. And this is what's happened to the medical establishment. So we have a bunch of doctors now who are basically only interested in making money, probably 90% of them. That's why they went to medical school to start with. And we have 10% of the medical professionals that are really good people. I mean, they're good people. They really care about their patients. They really care about what's going on. They question the efficacy. They question all of the stuff, the different drugs that are being promoted. They're really careful to not use very many drugs. If you got one of those guys, you got a great guy. And I love those guys. The other 90%, pretty much they suck. Excuse my language. But they do. They suck. And I said it again. It doesn't matter because I just don't like these guys. And all they want to do is get into arguments with you. And they can't see the forest for the trees. Especially the pediatricians, Austin, who intentionally inject these children, knowing that they're the ones that are actually inducing the autism by these injections, and they don't care, or they're unwilling to see the statistics. And it's sad to me. Or they're unwilling to even open their mind that they could be doing this. I guess it's they have some type of normalcy bias where they don't want to believe it, which I can say that would be pretty easy to obtain that type of normalcy bias if you think you're intentionally poisoning children, if you had a conscience, which a lot of them don't. But I'm going to stop right there before I say anything else. But 10% of the medical doctors are great. Guys, this is true in every profession, whether it's the police officers, whether it's the psychologists, whether it's the attorneys, whether it's any of these guys, you always have to get multiple opinions. You got to find somebody who's good. It goes same thing with the roofers. It's the same thing with AC repair people. It's the same thing with plumbers. You get good people and you get bad people in all these different professions. That's why you need to be working with referrals and people that you know. By the way, I'm going to talk about Epstein for 1 second because this thing is just getting sicker and more perverted as we go. Here's the thing. Let's start. I want to go back to Ghislaine Maxwell, who's a girlfriend of Epstein. She was the daughter, favorite daughter of Robert Maxwell, the British politician and media proprietor suspected of being a triple agent. They thought she was with the CIA, MI6, and Mossad. She had helicopter license, airplane licenses, and submarine licenses. I mean, this is nuts. This lady has well-known leads to the British Secret Service, her father did, the KGB, Israeli Mossad, and the CIA. So in 1991, Maxwell, her daddy, died in a suspicious drowning accident off his yacht, named after his daughter. He was eulogized by former Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir, who was good friends with, guess who, Jeffrey Epstein, who said that Maxwell had done more for Israel than can be said today, could be said, because he was a spy, basically. When Maxwell died, he was billions of dollars in debt, and he had stolen hundreds of millions of dollars out of his own company's pension funds. This kind of lowlife this guy was, all right? After his death, it was revealed that he had basically, you know, had stolen all this money, that Ghislaine had a taste for finer things in life, and he was connected to some of the most powerful people in the world, but the family trust only gave her 80,000 pounds a year, which is a little over $100,000. That's all he got from the trust. Well, then she basically ran out of money. Well, then she got hooked up with Jeffrey Epstein, who her father knew, okay? And his listed worth, his net worth at that time was listed around $559 million, which is all a lie. It's all Mossad money and CIA money and basically MI6 money. Now, let me stop for 1 second and put a couple pieces of this puzzle together. We've given our country over to the politicians who've been blackmailed. They've given it over to the basically military-industrial complex who's being controlled by the international banking community, who also controls the CIA, who basically answer to Lucifer. Now, there's something you don't hear on other shows. That's just how it works. That's the hierarchy of this. They want to tie everything that he's doing into a 5G computer to make him omnipresent, control our hearts and minds and souls and everything else. So all of this stuff is the same pyramid with the same people at the top. All of it. It's including the CIA. And they're the ones that run the drugs into the United States and from around the world through the Air Force and through other, you know, notorious mafiosa organizations. Now, here's the deal. No one knows how Epstein made his money, but most agree that he didn't probably make it through trading options or derivatives. As he claims, his ex-business partner, Steve Huffingberg, claims that Epstein's company was financed through fraudulent Ponzi schemes. Here we go. There you go. You hear that? That way you have investors putting money into Ponzi schemes. You don't know where the money's coming from. And if the organizations like Mossad want to fund it through the Rothschild banking cartel, they can do it with impunity and no one knows it was them. Between Epstein's ill-gotten fortune and Maxwell's connection, these guys were able to gain access and influence some of the most powerful people in the world, including Jeffrey Epstein's 90-page address books, which includes Alex Baldwin, Tony Blair, Elizabeth Hurley, Michael Bloomberg, Phil Collins, Prince Andrew, a bunch of the Kennedys. And of course, we know that Ted Kennedy was a complete and total pervert who liked young girls. Henry Kissinger, Courtney Love, Cheryl Mills, Bill and Hillary Clinton. I mean, this list goes on. Rupert Murdoch, Prince Charles, Prince Solomon, George Soros. I mean, just Kevin Spacey, the other pervert, Ivanka Trump, Chris Tucker. All of this stuff were in his book. This, we need to realize, it's very likely that not everyone that Epstein knew was aware or was linked to pedophilia. We've got to clarify that. To most people, he's probably just a rich guy who belonged to through large parties. But the people like Bill Clinton, who flew on the Epstein's private jet to Orgy Island 26 times, was guaranteed involved. Jeffrey's Epstein job was simple. He was to be a pimp. He's working with Mossad, CIA, MI6, and to find elite people in the U.S. political and economic industries and to compromise them. Remember, this is all, remember, Rothschild runs all of the stuff the international bankers do. Then, you know, he put them in a discreet room with massage tables, cameras, and they stood ready for this. And they basically were able to extort the money to get these guys to do whatever they wanted. But how do you make all that dirty money look legitimate? Well, you run a shady hedge fund. Then you have all of the perverts invested in your hedge fund. The fund is offshore, off the tax books, and no one can see your client list. In exchange for parking your money with Epstein, then you gained access to all the little girls that you wanted to have sex with, a bunch of weirdo perverts these guys are. I mean, this is just crazy. The blackmail material was collected in order to assure that no one would snitch out others without implicating themselves. Guys, lawyers for the victims claim that hundreds of children were involved, were trafficked from all over the world. Perhaps the most astonishing detail in the Jeffrey Epstein 2008 plea deal essentially forced him to continue gathering information for the feds. He worked for the FBI to continue the pedophile organization to gain information for the federal government. This is nuts. It is unreasonable to believe that a ring this size was in operation for this long without the full knowledge and cooperation of those in power. I'm saying it over and over again. Clues in Epstein's relationship to intelligence may be seen in a turboprop plane and a helicopter he owned, which all shared tail numbers. Listen to this. With craft owned by the U.S. State Department. I'm going to repeat that. Epstein's relationship to intelligence may be seen in a Bronco turboprop plane and a helicopter he owned, which shared tail numbers with craft owned by the U.S. State Department and which there were contracts to the private military company. Guys, remember the guy who got shot in Vegas? The same thing. He had helicopters and he had planes owned by the CIA and other military. All of this stuff, guys. And this is all through Dynacorp. The State Department status would have enabled Epstein to bypass border security checkpoints. He's running drugs. He's running dope, smuggling drugs or money or whatever, and eludes law enforcement to suggest that Epstein's illegal child trafficking, they've been running children in these planes, may have been supported or even funded by the United States government. That's how deep this goes. I don't know if it sounds far-fetched, but DynaCorp, which is another Rothschild company, has been implicated in numerous cases of child sex trafficking, child sex slavery in conflict areas all over the world. In 1999, DynaCorp was caught doing just this in Bosnia. In 2004, DynaCorp contractors were caught raping and video recording children in Colombia, as well as distributing these videos for profit. They were selling these doggone snuff films and weirdo pervert films. In 2008, DynaCorp was involved in child kidnapping prostitution ring in Afghanistan. And in 2009, DynaCorp officials were caught hiring male child strippers performing a corporate party in Afghanistan. And they were videotaping it. Hillary Clinton was well aware of all of this, but continued to work with DynaCorp and accepted their donations when she worked at the U.S. Secretary of State under Obama. Guys, are you joking me? No. In 2017, it was widely reported by NBC and others that Hillary Clinton, while Secretary of State, shut down an investigation into an elite pedophile ring in the State Department of ranks in order to avoid scandal and protect the careers of high-ranking officials and the ambassador. Guys, it gets worse than this. When you get into the Ninth Circle satanic ring out of Australia and these different subsidiaries around the world, they have hunting parties. Now listen to me, guys, if you got children right now, just turn off the show for a second. I don't want to hear this. They put children in cages and turn them loose on these giant game ranches, and they would hunt them for sport and kill them. That's how sick these people are. This is the group of people that run the planet. This is the Baal, the Moloch, and the Asherah worshippers. This is the deep state. This is the group of people that run this planet. I had an email from a friend of mine, Matthew, out of California. He said he went to the beach the other day, and he said, like, everybody's gone gay, that it's trending to be gay. This is the same group that's pushed this trendiness to be gay, trendiness to be transgender, trendiness to be a pervert. Same group. I mean, this is the same group that's done all of this. They're the same group that took down Building 7. They're the same group that took down the buildings of 9/11. They're the same group that took down Kennedy. This is the same group. It's the deep state, the secret societies working together with the organized crime societies, who are all under the guise of the international banking cartels, who run the money and sling the dope and basically cover the cost of all the stuff and clean the money to the international banks. These guys run the planet. And at the highest level of these guys are the international satanic banking elite who use and abuse children. And for some reason, these sick perverts want these other people involved in their nefarious, weirdo stuff that they do. And now they're being exposed on shows like this and other shows we talk about. Maybe not to depth that I talk about it, but other shows do talk about it. You guys, but we have to understand, you got to look at the head of the stake. The head of the stake is the same group that crucified Jesus Christ. It's the same group of the Druids. It goes right back to the Benign Nephilim, the sons of the fallen, the progeny of Lucifer, who they believe in the Garden of Eden that Lucifer came in, he seduced Eve, and that's why they said he beguiled her. And he had a son with her, and they had a bloodline coming off the Luciferians all the way through. And they traced their lineage all the way back to that. You say, well, Ted, you believe that? I don't know if I believe any of this stuff. But this is what they believe. And they believe it's strong enough to basically kill for that and to die for it. The only thing I believe is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he came and he died for our sins. All the rest of these stuff and the stuff they make up and the stuff. Remember, Lucifer is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning. Jesus said this. And we have to understand who and what he is, what type of entity he is. And we talked about this before on our show. Nobody else talks about this either. How many other planets have they done this to? How many other civilizations have they destroyed with their AI? And, you know, their Luciferian John Knight stuff they do. I mean, how many other planets they require blood sacrifice? I mean, we don't know. All we know is this, is that God had enough of it on this planet, and he sent Jesus Christ in his own image, his son, to put a stop to all of it. To be a kinsman redeemer for us, the second Adam, to come in and to pay the price for the mess that we've gotten ourselves into, that all you have to do is believe in him, and you shall not perish, you shall live forever and be with God for eternity. See, that's what being a Christian is. It gets us out of this negative cesspool I just talked about, and it makes it so we don't have to be part of this or think about all this stuff. But these guys run the planet, and you've got to understand who and what they are. Watch, read the book, Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr. It's free online. It's a PDF. Okay? Read the book by Topper Saucy, Rulers of Evil. Read those two books. They're both free online. You can't then read the other one, Satan, Prince of This World. And that's another one that was written by William Guy Carr. You read those three books, all right, and then you throw in Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the Mafia, and the Vatican. Now you've got yourself a really deep understanding of what I talk about on the show every single day. And then if you really want to figure out some stuff, read the book of Enoch and tie it back together with Old Testament prophecy. And, and then you go, okay, now we got it. Guys, this is how the whole system works. And guys, for some reason, I seem to be the only person, Austin and I, and maybe a few other shows, that seem to put these pieces of this puzzle together. And so now they're using the Middle East conflicts to bring in their entire third temple, in which they're absolutely just bent on bringing in the Antichrist. And well, because it's what they want to do, because this is what prophecy says is going to happen, and the Bible says it's going to happen. But we as Christians need to continue to pray to slow it down so that more may be saved and turn to Jesus Christ. But not Christians don't want to do that. Christians want to go in now and endorse this third temple campaign for the rebuilding of this. Guys, think about it. It says the son of perdition is going to come in and say he's God. He's going to do it in the temple. So they got to rebuild the temple to do all of this stuff. So why in the world, if it says this in the book of Thessalonians, why in the world are we part of this? Why are we giving money to the temple fund? Do you not understand that ye yourselves are the temple of God, that God's spirit lives within you? That's what the word says. We don't need to rebuild the third temple for sacrifice of animals. What's the point of that? Jesus Christ came and he died for all that. So for Christians to be so hoodwinked into believing they need to support this stuff, they need to really understand what the scripture says and what the word of God says about sacrifice and about who Jesus Christ was. Oh, but that's right. The churches don't talk about that anymore, do they? It's name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. It's like, let's have the pansies in the pulpit preaching anything they want besides repentance. Oh, come on, guys. Let's talk about what Christ taught. Let's talk about how he said, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. Why don't we talk about that, quoting right out of the Old Testament? How about we stay away from the weirdos who like to hunt children and drink blood and kill people and eat them? Last time I checked, guys, it's not okay to eat people, all right? And these guys are sick enough to do that kind of crap. I mean, Katy Perry in her video, Bon Appetit or whatever that was, are you kidding me? Saying you're making it up, Ted? Why don't you watch the Katy Perry video if you think I'm making it up? This is what these people are into, these sick, perverted Satanists. And guys, you gotta come ye out from among them, be ye separate, that's not the unclean thing. If you're listening to shows that aren't teaching you what I'm teaching you, you gotta reevaluate it. Or you gotta make sure you watch it and listen to it with a Christian lens, because you may gain a little bit of truth out of it. There's all kinds of people out there, and I mentioned a few of them on the air. I hate doing it by name because it gets too sketchy to do that. But there are a lot of people out there that will give you 80% truth and 20% misleading and 20% lies. I see it all of the time. You don't do that. And Steve Pinnicek, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to say a name here. I believe that he gives out a lot of really good information, but 20% of his stuff is like, whatever, man. What agenda are you pushing? So you got to be so careful on who you listen to. And like I said, Steve's brilliant. PhD, Harvard, okay, CIA. I mean, but you always got to ask yourself. Another guy, I'm not going to mention his name. He stays drunk all the time, and he's Mossad. I had a friend of mine, Gene, send me a text from him the other day. He gets all this inside information. The guy's a disinformation agent. That's what he does. If you can catch him sober. And then you get the other guys that are drunk all the time and cursing on the shows and saying that, I got to be careful. You got to watch who you listen to. Guys, if your spirit gets grieved when you listen to somebody and you go, he may be telling the truth, but his presentation, is pretty rough. This language is awful. Or why is he saying that Hollywood has been taken over by the Chinese? Ooh, I went too far on that one, didn't I? That's not true. It's not true. Guys, listen to me for a second. Filter everything to the Word of God. Paul was saying that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they took everything that Paul said and they verified by going back to the Word and confirming the Scripture and what Paul had taught. I mean, that's what we have to do. We've got to base it all on the Word. So if somebody's lying to you, doing some kind of weird stuff to you, you got to be really, really careful to ask yourself a question. If they'll lie from you, what else will they do to you? If they'll lie to you, don't do that. Don't just be really, really careful, because when they're putting out this disinformation, They're on somebody's payroll, bud, let me tell you. All right, Austin, what's your next story, bud?
Well said. We said a lot of stuff that I want to kind of add on here, and this is also to tie back to what you're talking about. A lot of what we're seeing now at the southern border with the massive influx isn't just the agenda pushed by Soros to bring in more migrants in the United States. That's part of it. But another aspect of what we're starting to see now, and we've talked about this for a while, is that this is also to bring in more children into basically the sex trafficking ring. The Acting Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, Mark Morgan, testified before the Senate Homeland Security Committee this week on July 30th, 2019, and questioning by Committee Chairman Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin revealed that the new pilot program that began last year using DNA tests at the border to determine if the children coming across the border were in fact related to the adult occupying them has shown a very, very scary realization. I went on to discuss the DNA testing, what type of percentage are people coming in to determine their fathers of the family. And they said, well, just in the last few months of the reports that we've got, we do not have the overall percentage, but right now we have a guarantee that a minimum of 5,800 of the children that have come in were not with their accompanying parent, meaning the DNA did not match. And it goes on to say here in further aspects of it with George Rogers, co-founder of the United States Institution Against Human Trafficking, that the aspect in the United States of separating children from their families at the border is not the real issue here. It's a child sex trafficking program that we have going on. The United States is the number one consumer of child sex worldwide. They said, so we are driving the demand as a society. American kids, American born, are about 50 to 60% of those coming out of the foster care industry are ones that are primarily going in to the child sex trafficking. The rest are being brought into the United States from other countries. And he goes on to detail here to discuss even more details of the child sex trafficking, which I'm not going to talk about because it just makes me nauseous, to be honest with you. But this goes back into what Dad's talking about here. This is what we're seeing at the border now. It's not just bringing in the migrants. It's also to bring in as many, because they pretty much are, they said there in this article that a child now is pretty much a passport in the United States. If you show up at the border and you have a child with you, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter if you're a pedophile, doesn't matter if you're a murderer, doesn't matter if you're a rapist, doesn't matter where you are from, if you show up at the border, you automatically come right in. And then they go in and run you through booking and processing, and a lot of times the child is separated. And at that point in time, and we've seen videos, you know, we've seen these videos of these kids where they're kept and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that you can't, you have to do something with them, but what they're saying here now is you got to think about it. You have kids coming into the country, they're undocumented, they have no passport, they have no parental supervision with them, these parents are not coming with them, they're with somebody else, they're then separated, they're brought into these holding facilities, and nobody knows where these kids go, and most of them end up going into foster care, and we've already talked about in detail, and the same thing that George talked about in his article, foster care is predominantly about 50 to 60% of where the child sex trafficking is coming from now in the United States. It's so prevalent, and it's so monetarily based, is what I talked about earlier a couple months ago in California. On average now, child, as far as the foster care system, engulfed with Child Protective Services, they get on average, with all the subsidies, grants, and payouts, between $5,000 to $6,000 per child per month to that agency that has a child in foster care. It is a very, very, very lucrative industry. And then, of course, the Senate passed it, and if I'm not mistaken, Trump passed it as well, that ended up giving Child Protective Services and foster care and all that almost doubled their budget with the bill this year. That's what's really going on right now, and that's what people need to understand, is this is one of the key things that is happening, just like we see with Epstein, and nobody wants to talk about it. Also, too, in other news, this is kind of troubling, but it doesn't surprise me one bit. You guys remember the tweet that came out on July 27th from Donald Trump discussing, well, I'll read it to you. He said, considerations are being given to declare Antifa, the gutless radical left whack jobs who go around hitting only non-fighters over the head with baseball bats, a major organization of terror along with MS-13, would make it a lot easier for police to do their job. So what he said in this tweet is essentially, Congress is looking at Antifa to classify them as a terror organization, which it's a straight-up joke, a laughing clown joke that Antifa has not been designated as a terror organization, except when you realize the fact of what I talked about last month, and that Antifa, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion that have researched this and are actually in the know, is that Antifa is not a terror organization when it comes down to the brass tacks. They are paid contractors. They are paid contractors that are doing their job that they are paid to do, and that is to load up in full black gear, body armor, helmets, full mask, gloves, head to toe. Any identifying markers are no longer able to be seen on their person. They're wearing goggles, they're wearing sunglasses, and they run around with baseball bats, 2x4s with nails, rocks, bags of feces and urine, milkshakes with liquid quick hard semen in it, you name it. They have it. And, you know, of course, you're going to have the village idiots that join the club and want to run around and create havoc. But the majority of the individuals that are leading these groups are contractors. They're paid contractors that are doing exactly what they're paid to do. That is why Antifa goes to Portland, Oregon, and the mayor tells law enforcement to stand down when they're attacking people and beating them over the head with billy clubs and pepper spraying them and throwing milkshakes with concrete in them. That's why they tell Antifa to stand down, or they tell law enforcement to stand down every time Antifa shows up. They're told to do that. The mayors are told to allow them to run rampant so they can do what they need to do. Now, what's ironic about all that being said is that Congress has not made Antifa a terrorist group since Trump tweeted that. But now, the FBI has reportedly now released a document describing conspiracy theory-driven domestic extremists as a threat in a document that was recently obtained and released by Yahoo News. You guys are going to like this. The FBI intelligence bulletin from FBI's Phoenix field office says the FBI believes the emergence of these extremists will be getting worse leading up to the 2020 election. The document also mentions the network QAnon, a group that maintains there's a deep state conspiracy against President Donald Trump. Also, the conspiracy theory that claims there's a pedophile ring based out of D.C. that involves the Clintons. The FBI assesses these conspiracy theories will emerge, spread, and evolve into modern information marketplace, occasionally driving both groups and individual extremists to carry out criminal and violent acts. They added that the uncovering of real conspiracies or cover-ups involving illegal, harmful, and unconstitutional activities by the government or leading public figures goes on to claim even more violence will occur because of this. What they're blatantly saying here is that anybody now that starts talking about the real aspects that are going on, the fact that there are real conspiracies, that there are real illicit things happening, that there are pedophile rings being run out of the country, that there are unconstitutional activities being done by government officials or leading political figures or government agencies like the ATF, DEA, CIA, oh yeah, those guys. Anybody that says anything involving that now, that they classify as fake news, because now apparently from what we have seen from social media, you can deem anything to be fake news if you're at the top of the totem pole. As we've seen now on Twitter, they've pretty much gone and deplatformed anybody that talks about the truth, and they claim it's fake news, while at the same time, we have individuals that get on there and make claims like Viesco, who's 42, who basically has a big platform on Twitter now, tweeted something the other day. It said, "Dear white people, it takes a lot of white privileged balls to stand on your stolen and occupied continent and claim about migration. Far right activist starter pack, here's what you need. You want to deport all Mexicans, you oppose any gun control, you want Muslims banned, you dislike refugees, you wear MAGA hats, you're xenophobic, you're homophobic, you call everyone that actually has common sense a liberal, and you racially profile everyone, and you deny having done any bad things. Thank you and have a nice day." He tweets stuff like that that is unbelievably racist and doesn't get banned, doesn't get turned down, actually gets a massive amount of thumbs up and actually gets pushed to the top of the list when you have individuals like Lara Loomer who talk about PayPal deplatforming her and about 50 other conservatives that have been completely and totally banned and deplatformed just on Twitter alone that I know of personally. they don't say anything about it. They say, oh, you said fake news. You can't say fake news. We're banning you. That's hate fake news. And you go, but I asked why we're allowing the liberals to continually push the agenda that we need to be disarmed for our protection. Oh, that's fake news. That's also a hate crime. Oh, that's also homophobic and racist as well because you said that. You go, what? That doesn't even make sense. Oh, yep, sorry, it does. Click, you're deleted. Bye, you're banned. And you go, what just happened? But when people talk about their agenda that they want them to push, they're actually monetized and they give them more platform space, guys. The reason me saying all of this now, we are about to enter a time in the next couple of years where we're about to see some serious censorship. We're about to see some serious things occur with what's going on right now. This is a very crucial time in the United States where everybody that's a conservative and a patriot has to start linking up with one another. Whether or not they're discussing things as far as with letters, whether or not using ham radio, whether or not they're getting platforms together, whatever it may be, starting radio shows, whatever it may be, we have to start doing so and becoming a unified organization because they are playing for blood on this. There's a reason why the FBI just came out now and they said that conspiracy theory-driven domestic extremists are going to commit basically violent terrorist acts before the next election. They are prepping and they are getting ready and they are priming the mainstream public and the mainstream gullible brainwashed individuals that watch CNN every night to believe anybody that talks about the truth, that talks about Epstein, that talks about the child trafficking, that talks about gun confiscation, that talks about the massive amount of Muslims that are still coming in from the Middle East on a regular basis, that are talking about how the CIA brings in drugs in the United States. Any of those topics are now listed as conspiracy theory-driven domestic extremist behavior. The FBI didn't put that out there because they're just wanting to play with, you know, play on words. They're doing this because they're priming the mainstream population to believe the narrative that they're about to let loose on them. And that is anybody that's essentially pro-life, pro-gun, pro-Christ, pro-freedom, and pro-Constitution is going to be on the chopping block of being able to say or do anything freely, unmolested on your way. That's what's about to happen, and everybody needs to get ready for it, Dad.
Wow, awesome. I mean, so much. I agree with every word, syllable, sentence, punctuation, everything you just said. Everything's perfect. But that's exactly right. I mean, I don't like what you said, but it's true. I mean, we've got a major problem right now with the United States government. It's being run by mafioso. I mean, that's what it is. And they're blaming now that anything goes wrong with this election coming up, it's all going to be Trump supporters. And like you said, Antifa was not ever put out as a terrorist organization that was being funded by George Soros, who's funded by Rothschild. That's because, remember, what's wrong with me? Wilbur Ross is a Rothschild agent. He paid off Trump's debt loading the money. That's right. So why would Trump push to have Antifa made a terrorist organization when it's part of the organization that supports him? Whoa, that's just something interesting to throw in there. But that's the problem we've got with all of this stuff. So now you've got white people that are still right in the crosshairs of all of it. And, you know, it all goes back. It all goes back to what happened in World War One, what happened before World War One with Woodrow Wilson, what happened in 1913 with the formation of the Federal Reserve Act and, you know, them taking our money away and charging us interest to give us our own money back. I mean, it all starts right back then. It starts right back with, you know, with Brandish, the Supreme Court, you know, person who came in and got us into World War One, who was pushed in by Samuel Untermyer, who's one blackmailed Woodrow Wilson. The same Samuel Untermyer who pushed the Scofield Bible to basically emasculate the Christian church so the men would think they're all going to get raptured and nobody would worry about end times. Yeah, that same group. That's who's doing all of this. And you think, what the heck, man? Yeah, well, that's what we have. I tell you what, guys, if you're bored right now, you got to be just not paying attention or reading the wrong stories. Oh, by the way, here's an article from Zero Hedge, and it says, watch out, America. China and Russia are coming after the dollar. Yeah, that's actually happening. Central banks are buying gold to diversify reserves and minimize exposure to the dollar. This has been mainstream narrative, and it's true. But China and Russia have a bigger geopolitical objective. They want to undermine the dollar hegemony and reduce the dollar's ability to weaponize the dollar as a foreign aid policy tool, which is also true. But guys, listen to me for a second. The Russian central bank is owned by the Rothschilds. The Chinese central bank is owned by the Rothschilds. Go back to Otto Kahn. Gosh, I tell you guys this all the time. Otto Kahn said in the early 20s that the international banking cartel controls both sides. They control the Chinese money. They control the Russian money, going against the American money. They do it back and forth to control the final outcome of a one-world currency. That's all this is. It's the international banking community, which should all be arrested and charged for the treasonous people they are. I had to be careful not to say a bad word. And just this is what they have. This is what the problem is. And so it's Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, my favorite president, Democrat. He had enough of these guys. You know, John F. Kennedy, when his PT boat went down, he was on that island. He was about to get shot by the Japanese, and he wrote his book. And, you know, and all the things that he did. You know, he had an epiphany. He had a born-again experience, as far as I'm concerned. He realized that the money and the elite and all the people that were running the planet needed to be stopped. He wanted to scatter the CIA to 1,000 places because he knew they were a Rothschild organization. He wanted to get rid of the international banking cartel and get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank because he knew they were a Rothschild organization. He wanted to get rid of the doggone mafia because he knew they worked direct together with the mafia. They worked with the international banking cartels to launder the money, so he knew they were another Rothschild organization. Went after all of them. He knew about what happened in 1947 with Roswell and wanted to disclose that information. He knew they were slinging dope out of Southeast Asia and he wanted to get us out of Asia. He knew that we were doing that on the behest of the CIA to fund their covert operations and he wanted that all stopped. Yeah, that John F. Kennedy. You talk about enough reasons to get himself shot, and they made sure they executed him, which he was. He was executed in a full-blown public spectacle, seen by the world, videotaped from multiple angles, just to let everybody know that they want to put an exclamation point that if you touch the international banking community, this is what you get. Yeah, oh yeah, and then remember Ronald Reagan, a couple months into his White House presidency, he gets shot by John Hinckley. His vice president is a former head CIA guy. Yeah, that was George Bush Sr. That's right. Oh, that's right, whose father was Prescott Bush, senator, known Nazi sympathizer and personal friends with Adolf Hitler and helped fund the Third Reich and was charged with trading in the Enemies Act and tried to stage a coup in the United States in 1933 using General Smedley Butler, the most decorated war hero of World War I with 2 Congressional Medal of Honors. They wanted him to lead a coup against FDR to install a fascist dictator Nazi regime in the United States. Yeah, that George H. Bush, whose dad was Prescott Bush, that guy that you never hear about what happened. Happened in 1933. Oh yeah, these are the clowns. These people that run the planet. These weirdos with their weirdo, perverted lifestyles and all the things they're involved in. Yeah, those guys. And just guys, you got to think through this stuff. And when you read this stuff in the news, you got to think, wow, are these guys telling us the truth or are they just playing games here? You know, most of the time they're just playing games or messing with your head. Oh, by the way, the top U.S. Navy SEALs now telling their commanders that we have a problem. Top U.S. Navy SEALs recently sent a blistering letter to the force, writing boldface, "We have a problem." So I'm following several high-profile incidents of alleged misbehavior by U.S. elite service members. Rear Admiral General Colin Green has given commanders until August the 7th to detail the problems they see and provide recommendations on how they ensure troops are engaging in ethical and professional behavior. You know, the problem they run into with all these guys, like now there's a major amount of people who are committing suicide in the military. And you say, what the heck? Suicide in the military? Yeah. And you say, we got a problem with this too. Well, yeah, when you get people who are sent to Afghanistan and they kill people who are innocent, men, women, and children, and then the next day they're sent to guard the poppy fields, and then they're told to load the heroin on the C-130 transport planes, and then they got to go kill some more people, yeah, that's going to mess with your head. I'm getting real personal here right now. That's going to mess with your head. And you're going to come back to the United States, you're going to go, what the heck did I just get myself in? And that's not what I thought it was. This is awful. And then your conscience is going to start bothering you. And then old Satan's going to jump on top of you, on top of everything else. So you killed all those people, but now you got PTSD. Now they got to put you on psychiatric drugs, and now you have this huge incidence of suicide in the military, people questioning what in the world they got themselves into and why they did what they did. Think about what I'm saying, friends, along with the doggone drugs these people are put on. This kind of stuff happens all the times. By the way, hundreds of bees and other types of birds are dropping dead around 5G towers, according to dailystar.com.uk. I mean, you know, why would that surprise you that bees are dropping dead around 5G towers? Well, you got to remember, This thing is putting out microwave energy. It's putting out scalar waves. And what happens is that these little bees and these flying insects and birds or whatever get around these things, they're getting microwaved. Yeah, they're getting cooked right in mid-flight. I mean, one time I was over at Disney World, and we're standing there, just standing there, and some pigeon comes falling out of the sky, just drops dead in front of us, and I'm like, wow, that's nuts. And the whole sky was covered with chemtrails. I think, well, do they really have that kind of weaponry? Do they really have the ability to do that? Do they really have the ability to track you by your heart rate and by your sinusoidal atrial node initiation of your pacemaker of your heart, which is different for every human being? They have the ability to track. Yeah, guess what? They do have the ability to track you. Guess what? They can put one of those doggone beams right through your heart, and they can stop that pacemaker in your heart, the sinusoidal atrial node, from producing the proper rhythm, and you go into cardiac arrest. You think, well, what the heck? Why would they do that? Well, because you're a white guy, or you're a Hispanic, or you're a black guy, and you're talking patriot stuff. You know, you got to have this stuff out there so you can basically tell you guys that you can't be talking about this stuff. And like Austin talked about a little bit. When you get these people with Twitter or with Facebook or with YouTube, and all of a sudden they go from zero to hero. They go from zero to 20 million views in one day, or zero to 100 million views in one day. You got to go ask yourself a question: what the heck? Who pushed the algorithms to that level to make these guys that well known that fast, guys? I've got millions of YouTube views, and it's been generic. It's taken 20 years to do this. I mean, year after year after year after year, probably 10 million views. You know, I mean, but I've done thousands of talk shows as a guest. I mean, I've done thousands of shows. I've sold millions of books. So I've got this giant group of you guys who bless us and listen to us and are part of my family, who I pray for every day, who basically understand where I came from, and I can track it all with pictures and photographs and show you where I've been and what I've done. These guys come out of nowhere to become superheroes on the internet overnight. And they all have a lot of things in common. They're all pretty much, you know, how should I say this in a nice way? They galvanize people to the right or to the left. Yeah. In other words, they're Democrats or they're Republicans, but they're not in the middle. They're not criticizing both sides like I do and Austin does. And we don't do that. We go down the middle. If Trump does something right, I say Trump does something right. Trump does something wrong, I say Trump did something wrong. Most people don't do that, guys, because it's very hard for the mainstream groups to accept you. Remember Mancow told me that. My friend in Chicago, who's a huge radio personality, he said, Ted, you can get really, really big if you're on the right or you're on the left. But when you go down the middle, you scare them so badly because you start pointing out the truth on both sides, they don't want to hear it. I've been on the show. I was on a show a couple of years ago, Austin, which I was like the number one, seventh largest talk show in America. And we're talking about what's going on with Barack Obama. This is back when Obama was still in office. And I'm hammering Obama. And the guy's, amen, amen, going. And I said, but we need to realize something. So we got to look at Building 7 on 9/11. And that was under the George Bush administration. Oh, thanks so much for being on. And I said, click. That was it. Gone that fast. And then he came in with a disclaimer. I don't know why he came up and said that, Ted. I don't know why Ted said that. He goes, he must be. Then he starts, you know, basically discounting what I had said because I brought up Building 7. Guys, are you kidding me? No, I'm not. This is the world that we live in, a world that is controlled by black magicians. The world that unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you got to ask yourself a question. What the heck? The heck's going on around here, guys? Thank God every day that you're saved. Thank God every day that you've listened to the Word of God, that you read your Bible. Thank God every day that you try to do what's right in God's eyes. Because listen, friends, this life is but a little short time period here on this planet. And we get to be with the good Lord for all of eternity. It makes such a difference in your life when you understand that. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. You know, I had the opportunity to pray for you guys again today. I mentioned that earlier in the show. It means so much to me. To me, it's a privilege. I want to thank you for supporting us. I want to thank you for getting your vitamins from us, your toothpaste from us, and all the stuff you get from us. It means the world to us to know that somebody's listening and you guys care. I love you guys. Have a great weekend. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, all this, everything going on right now, it's crucial that everybody's supporting one another and we're sticking together the best we can. We see the divisiveness that's constantly being pushed by the mainstream media, and that's exactly what it is. It's divisiveness. It's designed to try to get the majority of the population, including the patriot community, to go against one another over really, really petty things, just petty things. I've seen it happen for years now. Where, I mean, groups break up, friendships fall off, radio shows go off, all kinds of stuff, everything far in between. And most of it, not all of it, but most of it is usually really, really petty and could be avoided. And you have to think about it. So I always tell people, don't watch the mainstream media as much as you can. Don't watch it. Because a lot of it is mind control. And a lot of times people don't even realize that the propaganda that the mainstream media is putting out there even has any effect on you. You think, oh, no, I don't do this. It's designed specifically to be subliminal. So be aware of it. Be really, really, really awake and aware in your consciousness as far as when you watch movies, when you watch shows, when you watch news, and understand what they're showing and what they're trying to do to you. Because in some cases, you can be affected in your actions and your things you do can be affected, and you don't even realize it because of the stuff that you've been exposed to with a lot of the mainstream media. So just be aware of that. Also, too, be sure if you guys need anything, check us out, healthmasters.com. Thank you for all the emails and the continued support. Again, a lot of positive order comments. The Ultimate Multiple Powder, as you guys know, the Best Buy is completely out. It's slap out, completely gone. The brand new batch we have is in stock now, the Ultimate Multiple Powder, brand new. Back on the website now, ready to go, brand new batch. It's great. Be sure to check it out. If you guys need anything, you can email us or call us, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. We have the libido support kit still on sale for the rest of the week, and also the beet juice powder on sale the rest of the week. Those will be changing out next week, and I'll be putting something up, or maybe even over the weekend. We'll see what I can get together over the weekend here. And the magnesium amylate acid, be sure to check that out. Almost forgot about that one. That's the product of the week. It's our magnesium amylate acid formula in capsule form right now for over 10% off on the website. And be sure to vote for the other products that you want to see win as product of the week. It's like the vitamin E and the zinc are actually winning right now. Those are two very, very popular products. Also, to the CBD hemp oil, the estrogen control dimension, the CLA, those are all available as well to vote on at healthmasters.com. So you guys have a blessed, safe, awesome day. I'm going to be on the Hagman Report tonight again with Doug Hagman, so be sure to check that out if you want to listen in. You guys have an awesome night. Have a blessed, safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Right now, excuse me, Monday. Monday as always.